This is one of those occasions that we may cry real tears as well. We're a church that has a fun time together. Like 2 weeks ago in this service, we got to baptize a baby and celebrate together that birth. We showed some pictures last week of youth group and the youth rolling around on couches as a part of relay races and eating sardines and weird food like that. Like, we like to laugh together. It's a good thing, a joyful thing when we gather together. But at times, too, we got to be prepared to cry together as well. Paul, writing to a church in Rome, would write these words to them about what church life looks like together. And it's found in Romans 12, verse 15. He says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." And I'm grossly aware on any given Sunday, sometimes we come through a week of laughter and sometimes we come through a week of tears. And however we're coming to the same place because we want the same presence in our life. We want an experience with God in that way. And so as a church life together, doing life together, it means laughing together at times. It means crying together at times. And we've been crying for a whole month, huh? We've been talking about suffering through the month of February there. We began with just general scripture introductions about the topic of suffering. Last week, we covered origins of suffering. Where did suffering come from and what's God up to in all of that? And we learned through suffering's origins that suffering was not a created divine design, but it is a consequence of human disobedience there. And so we wrestled with what that looks like, and the disobedience might look a variety of ways. It might be personal choices. It might be from other people's choices. It might just be from a fallen, broken world that does fallen, broken things that takes us down at times in that brokenness. Those origins are complex. And yet through those complexities of it all, that there is one who walks with us in those complexities. It's God. That emblem of the cross reminds us suffering's real. Suffering's been experienced by him, and he's the one that can lead us through our sufferings. And so today we're going to walk from the textbook to real life testimonies. Five individuals, some of them sharing via video, others sharing in person for us about their real life story, their real life struggles, and what God has been doing in their faith or continues to do. Some are decades removed from their struggles. Some are still smack dab in the middle of it, and they're going to be sharing with us courageously their experiences with it. The first one that I want to show you is from Nancy Hannon. To add to our suffering, she's down in Florida, but videoing it for us in cold Ohio this morning, and so we will allow Nancy to share part of her story. Nancy often helps down in Wiggly Worship when they're not snowbirds there. She's going to be filming this from down in Florida, sharing a different part of her journey with us, and so here, Nancy.
Good morning, church family. I'm sure that Justin has already introduced me, but I'll introduce myself again just in case he didn't introduce me correctly, because I'm sure he's forgotten about me. We've been gone for so long. But my name is Nancy Hannon, and I'm glad that I can share with you my struggle, my tough time. I'd first like to begin by sharing this quote that I recently read, and I can't remember where I read it or who the author is, so I can't give the author credit. But it goes like this, quote, "There is something uniquely beautiful about a person that grows from their struggles and uses the lessons from their experiences to spread wisdom. I don't care what you did or how far you fell, but be the example that shows others that they can overcome that mountain too," end quote. I know that throughout my life and stages of my life, there were what I thought at that point was a tough time. Some are probably more memorable than others. But we all know that no one goes untested in life. We all have these adversities. Most of what I thought were struggles were just probably minor adversities, until what came into my life nearly 10 years ago. At the end of 2012, I faced a tough struggle, cancer. Cancer isn't funny. I do try to joke and laugh about it sometimes now that I've through it. But the news hit me hard. Melanoma. Well, from earlier in my life, I was a sun worshiper and a tanning bed enthusiast. So the reality from that abuse to my skin now really hit. Life was at my absolute best right then. I had a great job. I was building a wonderful life with Chris. My daughter was beginning to succeed in her career. My father was having stable health at the time. Chris and I were looking forward to his retirement, and we have just purchased our lake home. So this news didn't set well with me. Well, in early 2013, I had surgery to remove that tumor and the treatment afterwards. And that went well, but other dominoes started to come into play. All I could say was, why me? Why now? I don't have time for this. I don't need this. This is taking me out of control and I'm vulnerable and I don't like it. So one day I was wallowing in my struggles, visiting my father, and my father and my life mentor stopped me and said, quote, in the grand scheme of things, this is only temporary. He then went on to recite to me Isaiah 43:18-19, and I'll never forget that he recited it. I had to look it up. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. He then went on to explain to me that the past was nothing compared to what God would do for me in the future. Fast forward to 2018, just 5 years removed from my first cancer and surgery, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer, IDC, invasive ductal carcinoma. And I had surgery and treatment to remove it. I won't lie and say I wasn't scared of this, but the previous five-year journey helped me to see that healing is not God's plan for everyone. What God permits, He permits for a reason. It made me realize that we all die. However, cancer doesn't win if I die. Cancer only wins if I fail to lean on Jesus Christ. I accepted the reality of my circumstance, and I not only trusted God, but I thanked God for Him, for the path He put me on, and the people He put on the path with me. Life returned to whatever you want to call normal. And then just shy of 2 years, June of 2020, another breast cancer diagnosis on the other side, and I had mastectomy surgery on that side to remove it. Deuteronomy 31:6 became my scripture to live by because of this struggle. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, for your Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. During all this time, I've prayed in my decision to have radical mastectomy with no reconstruction. I've learned to live with my body and myself with the support and the love of God and my family. I've come out of this journey knowing Christ first and foremost as my Lord and Savior, but now also as my comforter, my healer, and my friend. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, as small adversities arise in my life over the last few years, I hum to myself and say the words to myself, a chorus from a Christian song. It goes like this. Mighty warrior dressed in battle, holy Lord of all is He, commander in chief, bring us to attention. Lead us into battle to crush the enemy. I hope that by sharing my struggle today, it shows all of you that you too can overcome mountains in life with the mighty warrior walking by your side. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll see you in April. Bye.
I'm pretty sure that see you in April comment was laughing at our suffering, but we'll talk to Nancy in April when she returns about that. But sometimes suffering is health inflicted. And Nancy's part of her journey was health-inflicted sufferings in that way. Sometimes suffering has to do with choices that we make. And Bob's going to share a part of his life story that led to some sufferings with some attitudes and some mindsets and some setbacks. And so please make Bob feel welcome as he comes forward. I will share with you, too, what Bob and others are doing today. It takes a lot of courage. It's not easy standing publicly in any form to say anything, let alone something as personal as sufferings and intimate times in life. And so what all these presenters are doing, either video or in person, takes courage. And please make sure they know how much you value their courage and their step of faith today. So thank you, Bob. Others.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Yes. So those that know me, I talked way too long in my first one. And so I'm going to do a little more cutting to the chase on this one to keep things on track. As a kid, I was mean, rotten, and not just mean and rotten. I was mean. I was rotten. Just to get through that, I'm not sure how I did it, but I do know how I did it. God was with me when I was young. He has been with me always. When I was young, I didn't realize that. I realize it now. I'm actually going to just kind of get into my story here. For the sake of time. And all through my youth, being rotten, being horrible, I was actually allowing Satan to creep into my life. And I didn't realize it, but when you do, he'll take a hold of it. And he did. Fast forwarding to 21 years old, I was in love, I got married. You know, those are good times, right? That's when my bad things really started to happen. The things that I was grooming came to light on me. So I was in love. I got married. And things fell apart. So a lot of partying, heavy partying. When I say partying, it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. I was into heavy drugs. I was into heavy alcohol. And a lot of it. Friday night, party time. Saturday night, party time. Sunday, well, I didn't go to church, so party time. Imagine that. That drags down on you. So some of the things that I was doing during that time, denying God, who was he anyway? He wasn't in my life. Didn't want him in my life. I was doing satanic meditation. I was looking. I didn't know what I was looking for. Witchcraft. Went to the spiritualist church. If you don't know anything about that, it's not really that great either. I had bad things in my mind, bad things that I was doing. Hey, let's do a little Ouija board. Let's ruin our life. That's what I was doing. So through all of this denying God, seeking Satan, I guess I was, I worked so hard at that. Why? Why did I work so hard to ruin my life when God was right there to grab? I didn't know he was there. I want you to keep your eyes open for all the little things that God does in your life. Well, if you don't know he's there, right? I can look back through my life from the beginning of the time and look through all the scrapes and scraps. Pulled me out from under the wheel of a tractor one day. Really? He's been there for me. He'll be there for you. Keep your eyes open. Well, this bad living that I was doing came to a head. 21 years old, maybe I was 22 at the time by that time. Well, my wife left me. Got a nice one right there. My wife left me. We divorced. Well, you might think, well, that'll straighten you out. Well, no, it didn't. So what do? I try to drown all that with more drugs, more alcohol. You can kind of see where all this is going to go with you. So I lost 40 pounds, about 40 pounds less than I am now, clothes swimming on me. Heart beating, palpitations, couldn't breathe. I was on a super downward spiral. So one night, of course I'm alone, so when I'm up on my bed there and I'm thinking, and I don't really know what I was doing other than that, but I had decided that it was better not to live than it was to live. I was in super pain. And I know some of you people out there have had that or may have that in your life in the future. Well, that's just not good. And you have to believe that God's going to be there with you through that. I still wasn't grabbing onto that because I didn't know he was there. But God stepped in that night, and here I am. He didn't let me do what I was thinking about doing. Thank heavens for that. He had a plan for me. So being that death is not an uncommon thing for people who are in pain, the whole thought of, well, this is death would be better than living. Death, this pain is horrible. It's day after day. I can't stand it. Well, there's another guy in the Bible, Old Testament, who went through that. Well, there's plenty. But I picked out this Old Testament guy. His name's Elijah. And he was doing some bad things, too. A bunch of people got murdered. Well, you know, Elijah's a pretty big deal. And I am talking about Elijah, not Elisha. So he's there. He had done these bad things. He goes to the oft by himself, and he's telling God, I just need to die. I don't want to live. I'm weak. I'm hungry. I just want to die. Well, God really wasn't happy with that. And so Elijah went to sleep. He woke up, and there's an angel there to tend to him, which is just wonderful. And he's not with that. He's going like, well, no, I still, you know, I'm miserable, and I'm not going to live. I don't want to live still. But God, with the angel, convinced him to open his eyes. Look at what was standing before him. He had a great opportunity. So he grabbed onto that, and he did what God wanted him to do. All of us can too, and I think I'm standing here because I didn't even know what God wanted, but I'm here. He's got a plan for me too. Well, through that, there's just a couple little extra things I want to say. Is this truth banner up here it's God's truth. And I love this, and I love this session of being able to bear my soul, even though I'm very nervous about it. This is healing. God can heal anything in your life. And I just ask that you allow him to step in and do that. For those who are in pain still, different circumstances, it's always different, but every one of you out there I know has a story, because I've heard some. I'm just willing to show God has helped me. Let him help you, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for sharing. Our next sharer is going to be Dick Hamill. Dick has been on the prayer chain, and you've heard his name many a times if you're connected to either the prayer chain or even praying for him personally on Sunday mornings for some health circumstances that led to a part of the story of suffering. And so Dick's going to come forward to share that part of the story as suffering and through health circumstances.
Good morning. I would like to start this by saying God is good all the time. And all the time, and that you can take to the bank. Probably, there's no one here probably that knows, that doesn't know that my story. I went for 83 years being like the rest of you fellows sitting out there looking at me, knowing that bad things happen to the other guy and not you. I was convinced of that. We were blessed all our lives, beyond measure, until all of a sudden, because smack, running full blast, I run into that granite cliff. Cancer, well, I thought was a toothache, turned out to be a cancer of the left jaw. And that's where this all starts. But what I said is God is good all the time. Our scripture we've been working on there in John, where it says, in this world you will have trouble. And your theme is suffering. And to me, suffering and trouble is a little bit different, because suffering is, I hurt, and believe me, cancer hurts. But trouble gives you the opportunity, it's like a problem, it gives you an opportunity to solve it. And you're not going to do that. But through prayer, and right now I want to say that when we said God is good, you guys, I mean, I'm talking about you now, are right on that same level. You can't imagine the cards and letters and the support and the prayers that we receive from you folks. It's amazing, and the good that it has done. But that scripture don't stop with the fact you're going to have trouble. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. So take heart. Joy. So we started the process. We were blessed with the best surgeon in this country, Dr. Labrature, who told us right up front, this isn't going to be easy. This is a major surgery. And he wasn't kidding. 14 and a half hours later, I come out hanging with hoses and breathing tubes and you name it, a week in the hospital. But God was with us. Our healing was great. I mean, it really was. We heal up faster than you can imagine. But the decision that I had to make was the fact of being one with that young lady out there. Dr. Stellhorn, when he married us, said that at this moment you had become one. And you can't, if you're one, you can't step out of the picture, because that is not going to be a whole left. So therefore, obviously, our choice was to do whatever we could to stay in the picture. And we healed through that deal, and complications started in pain that, and they found another cancer in the same, it might have been the same one, but it was in a place where there was no surgery, so there's different treatment. But and that's where we're at now. And in the process of healing, you talk about suffering. In the process of healing up from that, we lost our oldest son to COVID, which was a blow. But that has nothing to do with this that we're going through. But I want to thank you folks from the bottom of my heart to let you know that your support has been phenomenal. And it is a walk. You'll probably ask me, how you doing? And my response is going to be, without, in most cases, it's no walk in the park. Cancer is no walk in the park. But I'm walking. So when God says he's good, he is good, and he will be there just to give you that little boost that you might need. Thank you for the time.
No, thank you.
I'll take a dip. No walk in the park, but walking. As Dick testifies that God is good all the time, even through cancers and COVIDs and those circumstances, that there's this chorus line of God's character in it. And he's not blowing smoke either when he talks about the cards and the letters. There's a whole wing in their house, a room, that there's not a shelf, there's not an open space that isn't filled with a letter or card by many of you guys that wrote. And so an example of God's goodness through God's people and the ways they've showed support and strength through them. Next one that we are going to show is a video message. Steve Pausch helps lead out some of our small groups there, helps out with youth group. He's done some guest preaching here on occasion. He is currently this Sunday guest preaching at another church in Medina, but has taped in advance with Lance this video that shares some of his story and some sufferings and experiences.
Well, good morning. My name is Steve Pausch, and we have been attending church here for several years. Sorry I'm not able to be here this morning in person, because I'm traveling to another church, and I'm going to be preaching there this morning. So I guess it's not true that they say you can't be at two places at once, because today I am actually going to be that. So it's good to have this opportunity this morning. And when I first saw the sermon series that was coming up on suffering, I didn't give it much thought. It just didn't seem to be much of an issue for me. I mean, we all have things that we suffer from. You know, in the summertime, with my head, I suffer from a sunburn several times on the top of my skull. In the wintertime, I get cold headaches from being outside in the cold. But those are just things that happen to all of us. And so, I don't know, is that really suffering? You know, my legs are sore because of my belly. Is that really suffering? I've looked at all the thing. And so as I was trying to process, what does this mean? I wasn't really sure, and I didn't think much about it. And then Pastor Justin called me, and he asked me if I would be willing to share about the sufferings of the Pausch family. And I was just taken back a little bit. I was taken back because I wasn't sure what he meant. How does he see my life? I see my life one way. I didn't think that we had to really deal with a lot of sufferings, but he saw my life in a different way. So as I was pondering this, I saw a commercial on TV one night about an upcoming program that was going to talk about the life of Janet Jackson. And in this little clip, Janet Jackson talked about the fact that their family lived in a house that was a 672-square-foot home, and they had 11 people living there with two bedrooms and one bathroom. And she said they were poor, but they never really knew that they were poor until people would tell them. And so as I looked at it, maybe that was the same way with suffering for our family. What Justin has seen was something that was different than we saw, something that we didn't look at the same way. So he wanted me to talk about the long-term sufferings of our family that he has witnessed. We've known Justin and Julie since they were young teenagers. And since they were little, we used to be their youth pastor. And so they've seen us a lot of times, and they've done that. And so they've known it, and they've been around us a lot. They spent time at our home. They saw us at church, and so they knew that. And so as I thought through my story, I realized that in 1989, I sensed a call of God to go into full-time ministry. And I was called to the ministry of Youth for Christ to work with teenagers. And I did that in the city of Cleveland and spent a lot of time there with those kids. And then I got the call that I was supposed to go into it and do it for my full-time job. And I was so excited that that's what God had called me to do. I had sold my landscaping business. I got out of that. I was excited to be in full-time ministry, work into the service of God. And I was so excited that I never even bothered to ask, what does this new career pay? I soon found out that my job would pay me $13,000 a year, and I had to raise all of that money from friends and family. So I guess you could look at that would be a suffering in our case, but the reality was I was doing what God had called me to do, and I was excited about it. And so we did suffer through some things as a family. You know, what we were able to do was just not what everybody else could do, but we had been blessed and we had been taking care of that. And so I even missed paychecks at times, but we were happy that we were serving God. So when we moved out to this side of the world, Justin got to know a family that that had a bunch of kids. God has blessed us with six children. We had a bunch of kids. We were involved in a ministry. That was my job. We were not making a lot of money. He saw that. At times, we missed that paycheck, as I mentioned. I drove a junky car. We drove whatever people would give us or whatever I could get cheap and fix. We lived in an old house. And, you know, we did have our share of sufferings even in our married life. Our first child, as Kathy was pregnant with, we lost a stillbirth at 6 months. Over the years, we lost five other children in pregnancy. Those were things that were suffering, but in the midst of all that, we felt God just give us a sense of calm, and he did take care of that for us. We had a daughter who was at birth, had less than a 20% chance of living due to some of the health issues that she had, but she's here every Sunday as part of church, and so we are blessed to that. We did buy a very old home over on east of Norwalk, and we get surprises every single day from that house, the things that we have to deal with. But I don't know, is that considered suffering? You know, we have a home that we have that we can do the things that we want, but it does give us some surprises. You know, we have cars that break down a lot. One day I was here in church, and we were getting ready to leave, and we have the key that you push the button, it flips open, and I pushed the button, and the key flew apart right in the middle of the church. I had no way how to start it, and, you know, we finally figured that out. But we had Dwayne Baker said, oh, well, I'll drive you home. I mean, so God is taking care of those kind of things. For a moment there, I thought I was going to be in suffering. I didn't know how we would get home. But yet God takes care of all those things, and we did figure out how to get it started. And so we do that. I went to a friend's house in Fremont, went to visit him. I went outside. My truck wouldn't start. I had to have that towed home. I borrowed his truck. I drove his truck home. The next day, the belt flew off of the truck. I fixed the belt, got it home. I went to take it back to him. It wouldn't start and needed something else. And then after that, you know, the radiator went bad. I mean, so those are just the kind of things that happen. But the reality is God always takes care of us. We've had cars that have broken down, and you feel like you're suffering at the moment, but it's in a safe place where we don't have to worry about things, and we can either fix it where it's at, or we've been able to get it towed. And so those things have worked for us. But I don't know if I count that suffering, you know. And so we try to just look at things through a different lens because we're a follower of Jesus. And so when I see suffering, I look at it through for that lens of what does that mean with him. But what I know is that there's going to be troubles. We're going to be troubles. We live in Ohio. We're going to have cold. We're going to have ice. We're going to have snow. We're going to have all that stuff, but also just around the corner is going to be spring. So all those things for a short period of time, we may suffer with the cold, but we know that tomorrow is going to bring us warmth. But that's what it's like. In the book of John, Jesus tells us this in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So as we look at suffering in our life, we look at through that. We are going to have troubles. That is what God has given us. So our perspective is, it's going to be trouble. And so I wake up each day expecting trouble, which maybe sounds like a kind of sad way to start your day. But the reality is that's what we've been promised. There's going to be trouble, but Jesus says he will be there and he will take care of that. And so that's as we look at it. To me, it's an opportunity. Today is going to be full of trouble. And what is God going to do to take care of it? And so that is our perspective as we look through it. But we have been tremendously blessed. We are blessed with 6 children that are all followers of Jesus. They are walking with him at this point. We had our ups and downs and all those things, but they're amazing kids. We're just blessed. You know, I am blessed with an amazing wife. I mean, maybe suffering for her would be that she has been married to me, but, you know, hopefully she has the same perspective as she looks through it. And people have given us cars that we've driven for long periods of time. We had a car once that someone gave us just for vacation, and then someone stole it after that. Now, was that suffering? I don't know. We had a car to go on vacation, you know. But some of the things that we've had to deal with is we haven't had a lot of money. We don't take the great vacations. But because of that, we had to be creative, and God has given us some great things as a family, and we look at that. So when it comes to suffering, I just think these things here. I just think I'm supposed to look up. I look up for help from Jesus because he has suffered personally. He knows what it feels like, and he has healed people who have suffered. So I look up, then I look around. When I feel like I've got it so rough, I just look up and then I look around at others because there are people around me who have it much worse. So I could have a pity party for myself, but the reality is there is people who are suffering a lot more than I am because God has blessed us. And then I look ahead. When the day is full of suffering and there's something going to be there, I look ahead to see what it is that God is going to do for us. And he does. He takes care of that and he blesses us. And so suffering is only temporary. It is our perspective and how we look at it. And the verse that we claim on this is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So when Justin asked me to talk about all the sufferings of my life, I guess I looked at it through some different kind of glasses. And for me, the suffering of our lives is just an opportunity to see God do some great things. Have a great day.
So suffering takes different forms at times, and sometimes it's through the forms of cars and houses and financial tightness, and yet what's God up to in the midst of that? We've got one last in-person share with her, and it will be Nadine Munez to share a part of her journey on suffering. And so, Nadine, if you would come forward at this time. Thanks.
Nadine Munez. I told the first service that I'm very nervous to do this, and I might puke or cry, and we're just going to pretend like that didn't happen. If I did, I did not puke, but I did cry, so no one came up to me afterwards and was like, hey, you ugly cried, that's great. So I expect the same of you. So there's been kind of three big events over the course of the last decade in my life that have led to great suffering. On January 31st, 2012, my husband was on his way to work and he fell asleep behind the wheel, went left of center and hit a semi head on. And there's a picture of him, obviously. At the age of 22, I became a widow with an eight-month-old child. I know you've probably seen her, the tall one with glasses, Navady. In just one night, my whole life completely changed. To say that not a single aspect of my life was untouched by his loss, there were just so many things that people don't really think about when you lose a spouse at that age. Like, it was things like, how am I going to work? Who's going to watch my daughter? Because, you know, he watched my child while I worked, and I watched his child while he worked. How are we going to afford rent? Suddenly, everything was all on my shoulders, and I was living a life that I did not ask for, nor did I want, and I was having to do it without my best friend. I was mad. I was really mad. I was mad at Kyle that he left me. I was mad at the world that somehow it went on without him. And I was mad at God that he was not there to protect him. Suddenly our needs were great, but God always found a way to provide for us. And I found that healing isn't overnight. I still greatly suffer from the loss of Kyle. I was diagnosed with PTSD after he died, and I have times around the time he died and around his birthday where I have massive flashbacks. I have horrible nightmares every night where I watch him die a new way. I've been told that I still scream out his name at night, that I still cry for him in my sleep. So I'm definitely not what you would consider healed, but I don't think some things you can heal completely from. But God's timing is not our own, but his timing is perfect. I have since met another husband. He's right back there with the long hair, which I joked with the first sermon was our service was also a great source of struggling because he refuses to cut it, and I hate it. But if you don't know my husband, Kendall, you are absolutely missing out. He is an amazing human being. He has always been so supportive of me in my grief, and he has left space for Kyle in our everyday lives. We married. We had a son, which is right up here. I joked in the first part that, we have a lot of kids, so the dates might not be right, but there's a little bit extra pressure because he's here, but he was born in 2014, and when he was born, I asked my husband, if we could name him after Kyle. And most men would have been like, what are you talking about? But he looked at me and he said, he gave me my daughter. How can I not name my son after him? My husband did adopt our daughter, Navedi, so that she would always be protected and provided for. And he has stepped up in ways that still blow my mind. He took on a lot when he took on us. There was a lot of damage left from losing Kyle. And he hasn't done it perfectly, but he's done it wonderfully. We've always had a love for children. We've always kind of been the type that thought, we'll just let God dictate how many children we have. And in 2016, we found ourselves pregnant again. Over the course of that year, we would get pregnant 3 times, and they would all end in miscarriages. After your 3rd miscarriage, you are sent to doctors and specialists who poke and prod you and try to figure out what exactly is going on. And it was about a year process of us just going under the spotlight to figure out everything. And in the end, they diagnosed us with secondary infertility and basically said, yeah, we have no idea what's going on. I had a doctor look me in the eye and say, you obviously can get pregnant, but we don't know if you'll ever carry another child to term, and you probably won't. We found ourselves, it was a lot of questioning of why does God give us this desire to have children, to love kids, and then we have to keep going through losing them over and over and over again. But in 2018, we found ourselves pregnant again, and we went into it with kind of expect for the worst, hope for the best. We expected that we would lose that baby. And we had a couple who reached out to us who said, you know, we're homeless. We just had this baby. They're not letting us take her out of the hospital. My husband has rentals. And we didn't have anything available. But we said, you know, we will take your child temporarily so that you can get back on your feet. We had all this baby stuff that we had accumulated from the miscarriages that we couldn't use yet. We might as well do something with our time. That very temporary situation turned into a very permanent situation. And that's how we got our 3rd child, Addie. She's the one, you know, the dark-haired who probably yells a lot during the services, but after we took custody of Addie, 8 months later, our daughter Penny was born completely healthy and happy. I joke she's a little mean, which is 100% accurate, but it's amazing. I would love to end the story there. I would love to end it on a high note, and we can go home, and we can have lunch, and it'd be great. But that's not how life works. You know, prior to last year, I had this idea that because I had gone through what I had went through at such a young age, that I was immune from further tragedy. I thought there is no way God can ask me to do anything else. But then I was pregnant with our 5th child, and I woke up on February 28th. I was 38 weeks pregnant. We were a week from our induction day. And I noticed she didn't wake up with me, which was very abnormal for her. Often she would get up with me and kind of do a little kick, kind of like a, hey, good morning, Mom. But she didn't wake up that day with me. And so I did everything they say to do. I chugged orange juice. I ate sugary foods. And she still wasn't waking up. So we went to the doctor, and, you know, because of COVID, they rushed me back by myself, and the doctor looked at me, and he said, uh-oh, we have a problem. There's no heartbeat. And I was in so much shock, I didn't understand what he meant by that. I think I asked him at the time, well, where did it go? Because in my mind, there is no way this could be happening. She was healthy. The pregnancy was the healthiest I'd ever had. And there was just no way that God was going to do this to me again with losing someone who was so important to me. They decided to induce me right away. They did not know at the time, we now know, that my placenta had detached, so I was bleeding internally. So we're going through the induction, and the whole time I'm in labor, I'm thinking, like, this is our miracle. This is the moment I'm going to be able to point to in my life and say, God intervened. This is when God stepped up and saved the day. So we go through the induction, and I was able to labor for about 24 hours before things just went completely bad. My heart started giving out. My blood pressure completely tanked. I was in and out of consciousness. At one point, a nurse, you know, while we're laboring, we're doing, you know, we're prepping to have this baby, but we're also prepping to say goodbye, so we're calling funeral homes. We're trying to figure out, like, what do you do in this situation? We're calling families to let them know, like, I know you guys expected we'd be bringing this baby home. We did, but that's not looking like it's going to be the case. So, you know, I'm in and out of consciousness. My husband's on the phone call, on the phone trying to get, you know, everything situated. And I remember a nurse looking at me and saying, honey, if your husband wants to say goodbye to you, he needs to come now. And I didn't realize what she was saying to me at the time. I'm like still in so much shock, in and out of it. I'm like, where are we going? But they rushed us to the OR. You know, a typical C-section's less than an hour. With Odessa, it was about two and a half hours. I remember at one point I woke up and I was still believing that God was going to fix this. And I asked my husband, I said, is she born yet? And he said, yeah, she's been out for about 45 minutes. And I said, why is she not crying? And he said, sweetheart, they told you that she was gone. And I said, no, she's not gone. God's going to fix this. But he didn't. We got 2 days with her while they pumped me with blood transfusions and medications to make sure I was stable enough to go home. And then we had to leave her. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do as a mother, is walk away from her and know that I was going home without her. Because of COVID, you know, they were backed up with autopsies. And she was at the hospital by herself for a little over 2 weeks before they released her to the funeral home. And I begged my husband every day to take me back. I knew it wasn't her anymore, but the idea that she wasn't being loved, that she was just stored away and waiting, was too much for me to take. But her birthday is coming up on March 1st, and she will be celebrating it this year with Jesus instead of us, which I'm sure is going to be way better than whatever we could do. So where are we now? I'm still mad at God, if I'm being honest. I look back and I think, why in the world did you intervene to save me, but you didn't intervene to save my child? Because if you would have asked, I would have gladly given my life for her. But he didn't ask. And now we're here picking up the pieces. My family's greatly suffering still. We're not healed, but I know that God has blessed me in the past because of the circumstances of life. And I have faith that he will do it again. I'm not the same person I would have been if God hadn't picked up the pieces when life had destroyed me. And for better or for worse, my suffering has made me who I am today. I try to be really open and honest about what I went through, because I think we live in a society where people want to be viewed as having this picture-perfect life, and I am the first one to admit that my life is a train wreck and that I have gone through a lot of stuff, but I have made it through because God has been by my side. There's this quote that I really like, but I didn't write down who wrote it because I just didn't. But it is, I love when people that have been through hell walk out of the flames carrying buckets of water for those still consumed by the fire. I think sometimes we just have to wait in the pain and pray for better days. They may not look like what you want or what you expect. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would have remarried and I would have had these beautiful children, I would have called you a nut job, and I probably still will. But God knows what he is doing, and his plans are always better than our desires. You just have to trust him and know that he is with you in the suffering. I will end with that, but I want to say, like, if there's anything that I said today that you want to know more about, or if you're just wanting to talk to me or, you know, whatever. I'm open to, you know, having conversations. Sometimes I think it's just nice to have someone to say, like, yeah, I've been through crap, but and I survived it, and you will too.
Thank you. Thank you, Nadine. Let's hear it. Well done. Well done. Let's hear it again for all five of the people of courage that shared intimate details of their life. Yes. I hope you heard through some of their stories. Obviously, the individuals are different, the ages are different, the circumstances are different. But one common thing that they all had in common is that they're all here. Wherever they're at in their journey of suffering, the questions they're asking or the perspective they have, they're doing it here under a framework of faith, wrestling with God through all of this and in all of that. And so I hope you hear that. And that's just five of them. Many of you have stories of your own, and I share these stories to follow with these people's permission. But Nadine shares that March 1st is a date upcoming where she remembers the anniversary 1 year of Odessa. This past week marked another anniversary for our organists. Dottie Pickering and Jim Pickering lost a son tragically. That some of you know those sudden and tragic details of their son's passing in that decade prior to this. It was Valentine's Day, and the days after Valentine's Day, where all that occurred. And yet, she's our organist. She plays the music that anchors her, and even including on Valentine's Day, many years of just anchoring back and be reminding of God, even through the boat rocking in life in so many ways. Julia Walker is sitting towards the back of the church. I remember the first time that I met Julia, and she shared a part of her story that she shared on the day of her daughter's wedding. Her husband died, and that was the second husband that she had to bury tragically. The day of her daughter's wedding, as she's helping her daughter celebrate this day, her husband dies from a sudden heart attack there, and she would also have to bury one of her daughters to a sickness of cancer, and yet she's here in her 90s, worshiping God, even in the midst of that sorrow and setback. She was good friends with Alice Burns. Alice Burns has since deceased there, but Alice shared a story one of our first times talking with her of a child, elementary age, I want to say 7, 5, somewhere around those ballpark, that came in from playing outside one day saying, I want to meet Jesus. Went upstairs to take a nap and never woke up. That was Alice's story, suffering. And these are just some of sufferings that we deal with in all this, and yet dealing with it through an anchor of faith, a perspective of faith, a help support system of a people of faith. We are a people that don't dodge suffering, Christians. We are a people that don't dodge suffering. As so many expressed, in this world you will have trouble. That's in our scriptures. And it was said by a man who would go to the cross. Physical suffering. Relational suffering, losing loved ones, in the weeks leading up to that, including in that intimate moment. Suffering is a part of our journey. It's a part of our faith. And we have one to run to in suffering and run with in suffering, and it's God. And so we're going to close with simply a word of prayer. We won't have a choir song this week, and it has nothing to do with being 4 minutes away from noon. It has everything to do with the weather and canceling practices earlier in the week. They will be back next week. But we just want to end the service with a word of prayer and remind you that in this world that we will have trouble, but that there's an invitation to take heart in the midst of that trouble because the one that speaks to us has overcome the world, has overcome suffering, has walked through the tombs and invites us to the other side as well. And so let's pray to him as we close this service together. Dear Lord, I've thanked you before for this church, and yet I'm reminded yet again this weekend of the reasons that we have to be grateful for this place. Sat through much of the day seminar yesterday with 16 eager people that are just excited at what they've experienced in this church and their experience of you in this place. And we celebrate together. We laugh together like we did yesterday morning in this place. And then this morning together, we hear the tears. We remember the journeys, the pathway of suffering, and yet we do it sincerely and we do it seeking you through that. And I thank you for those stories and those journeys as well. Help all of us, Lord, You know how we come today, whether it's rejoicing or whether it's mourning, and yet we're coming to you, for you, in need of you. Thank you for meeting us in this moment. We thank you in Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. Amen. I invite you, go following Jesus. You are dismissed.